This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Kathy in Ohio and I have been talking about electric light bulbs. And just to put this in perspective, class, where does the electricity go in your house? Well, about 46% of it goes to heating and cooling. That's about half. Water heating, you know, for hot water, washing dishes, dishwashing. If you use hot water for washing clothes, we don't, but some people do. 14% for heating hot water. Appliances, 13%. Lighting, 9%. So if you were to save all the electricity by not having any lights in your house, you would save 9% of your electric costs. It seems to me that the government is looking in the wrong place. It's not a lot of money to be saved, not a lot of electricity to be saved with lighting. We could save a lot more electricity if we shut down airports. We could save a lot more electricity if we shut down government buildings. No kidding. So they want you to reduce the amount of electricity use that you use. But yet, what's happening in reality is we're using more electricity every year than ever before. I looked at my grandparents' electric bill from the 1950s and the 1960s. I saved a lot of things, canceled checks, things like that, because I want to know. I want to know historically what happened. I want to know from the source. $7. Their electric bill was $7 a month. They had heat. They had lights. They had a refrigerator. They had a stove. Now, they didn't have central air conditioning, but their electric bill was $7. Typical electric bill for most people today is like $300 to $400. So, what do you do in this situation? Well, if you can find them, and if you think they're important, you want to have some incandescent light bulbs, you jump on it right now, and you buy them. But if you look on eBay, the price is out of sight. I saw $150 for 48 light bulbs. Common light bulbs. I saw $224 for 48 light bulbs. These are incandescent light bulbs that used to be four for a dollar. So, it's because the government banned them. So if you can find them, and you think you need them, you probably ought to get them. Now, you can have them, and you can use them. It's just that resellers can't sell them. But I imagine if they're at a garage sale, and what the heck? What would you do? Would you just stomp on it and throw it in the trash? Or would you use it? Kathy, any comments about where would you get light bulbs today, since the big box stores don't sell them anymore as of the 1st of August?
The only place that I could find or I could think of, Vince, is either garage sales, thrift stores, or maybe auctions. I've seen them in boxes and auctions. People have an estate sale, that type of thing. And you know, Vince, a couple things. I noticed this about 6-8 months ago. Some of the stores, when I go in, they must be using these different kind of bulbs, because when you walk in, if you notice the light, it's awful. It feels like you're in a foggy basement. I mean, there's two stores that I can't hardly stand to go in. The light is awful. I personally like the old-fashioned fluorescent bulb. I thought that they really lit things up. So they must have switched over when they remodeled all their lighting. And, you know, Vince, I bought, when I heard this ban coming, I have four totes. I have 40, 60, 75, and 100. So I think I have enough for my lifetime and then some. But it still bothers me that they're banning them, because some people just really can't use them. They're just, maybe they'll perfect them down the road. But right now, it's kind of like the compact fluorescent. They were just awful. The only other thing I wanted to mention, Vince, was that I know that, you know, when you have your standard, like, table lamp, it'll have, like, you can only use a 40-watt bulb or 60 or 75. Vince, I've noticed that all of the lamps, and they must have done this, and I guess I didn't notice it because I did replace my lamps a while ago. I think the highest one I have on there is a 60-watt bulb that I can use. And I believe that if you use a higher wattage in those, you can create a fire hazard. Is that right, Vince?
That's absolutely right. So what has happened years ago, I'm talking about in the 1920s, when lamp holders, you know, the screw-in base for an incandescent light bulb were made, a lot of them were made with porcelain. And you're not going to be able to set porcelain on fire. The wires were insulated for heat as well. And then what happened is the sockets got cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And they said, well, no more 100 watts. Let's 75 watt maximum, then 60 watt maximum. We have wall sconces in our house that have porcelain lamp holders. And they have an insulating material around the exposed wires that you can see inside the sconce. And I think the maximum wattage that they recommend is 60 watts as well. But here's what I've done. And here's something that you can do. I changed the orientation of the light bulb so that there'd be more airflow around it, so that it would run a little cooler. And I also installed clear light bulbs. So if you have a frosted light bulb, the idea was to diffuse the light so you wouldn't have shadows that you get with a clear light bulb. But a clear light bulb lets out more light than a frosted light bulb or a soft white painted on the inside light bulb. So that's, you know, that's what I did. So I'm very concerned about, you know, not overheating the fixture, so I go with the manufacturer's recommendation. But you're absolutely right. They've changed the threshold, and it looks like some of those lamp holders could catch fire from the light bulb getting too hot. I agree with that. And my greatest concern is light bulbs that are upside down in can lights, because they get hot, and also the hallway ceiling fixtures that are totally enclosed. I don't like that at all. So those are a couple thoughts. And what do you do? Well, you get fixtures that are not totally enclosed that allow heat to escape. Those are some of my thoughts with, you know, the bulbs. But there are certainly light bulb applications that have absolutely no alternatives. And they are the infrared lamps. Now, some people use them for back pain. We heat our chicken house with some infrared light bulbs. And I have them in 125-watt and 250-watt sizes. So depending on the outside temperature, if it's really, really cold, 250 watts. If it's just mildly cold, 125 watts. And that keeps the chickens alive in the wintertime. So is there an LED replacement for that? No. Is there a fluorescent replacement for that? No. The only viable bulb for heating chickens is incandescent. That's the only viable method. And then the appliance lights, which we talked about, for the stove, it's got to be incandescent. So then for plants, you know, a lot of people use fluorescent grow lights. That's what I use when I start seeds. It's the spectrum that the plants like, but it's fluorescent. And I'm with you. I'm with you in fluorescent lighting. You know, when they started rolling out these LED replacements, people couldn't wait to get rid of their fluorescent fixtures. They jumped on the bandwagon. I'm talking about stores, supermarkets, warehouse-type stores. They couldn't wait to get rid of those fluorescent 8-foot-long fixtures. And they replaced them with LED. And there was a guy who was selling a whole store worth of his fluorescent fixtures. The tubes were 50 cents a piece. Now, these are tubes that would be, let's say, $5 a piece. He had new and used ones, 50 cents a piece, 8 feet long. I bought them all. And he couldn't wait to get rid of them. He thought he won the lottery when I wanted to buy them. I thought I won the lottery when he wanted to sell them. Because I have fluorescent fixtures, and I have the ballast to replace the ones that fail. So, where else could I buy light bulbs 8 feet long for 50 cents a piece? And my feeling is, if I've got 20 of these fixtures here at the farm, I've got 20 fixtures at roughly $50 a fixture. Why would I want to throw out that investment because the government says, y'all are going to switch to LEDs whether you like it or not? So I bought a lifetime of bulbs, new and used, for all of our fluorescent fixtures. But it seems like there are not many of us that like them, Kathy. Fluorescent is great because LEDs are point source lights. So there are a whole bunch of little points of light in an LED light bulb array. And they're really bright, each one of them. And you can't look at them because they're too bright. But a fluorescent has like even lighting from one end of the tube all the way to the other end. It's even lighting. And I like that. And there aren't many shadows with fluorescent lighting. And I like that. And they last 10,000 hours or more, maybe 15,000 hours. And I like that. And they use a little bit more electricity than an LED, but they don't get as hot. And I like that. So I think people have bought into this government ruling without thinking about what it means. I think that people think that LED lights are cool. They're, you know, cool as in wonderful. But they're not the panacea that they are being sold as. They don't do everything. And they don't last 35 years. And the 50,000 hours, 35,000 hours, nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And you know what? They can't prove it because they haven't been on the market long enough to claim that, look at this one. It's been running for 35,000 hours. They haven't been around long enough to prove it. They just estimate it. And they put it on the box, and the people read the box that go to buy them, and go, wow, 35,000 hours. Isn't that great?
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855 7'9", young. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly, in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Yes, it may seem like we're belaboring this point, but there's a lot of hoodwinking going on out there. And let me read something. By the way, don't believe anything that you hear on USA Prepares. Don't believe anything that any of your instructors happens to say. Don't believe anything that you hear, read, or see in the media. Do your own research. Make up your own mind. So here is a quote. This is on the internet right now. HarborFreight.com. It's Harbor Freight Tools. Quote, 5,000 lumen, 4-foot LED hanging shop light, Harbor Freight Tools. The 4-foot hanging shop light gives you plenty of visibility without the flicker or the hassle of fluorescent lights. The long-lasting LEDs deliver 30,000 hours of light, meaning you will never have to replace a bulb. Quote, you will never have to replace a bulb. Let me say that a different way. You'll never have to replace a bulb. But that's not what they mean. What they mean is, when it quits, you throw it away, the whole fixture. You won't replace the bulb. You can't replace the bulb. It's not replaceable. So you throw the whole fixture away. Who in their right mind would buy a fixture that looks like a shop light, a fluorescent light type fixture with a tube in it that appears that you can change the light bulb, but no, you can't. You throw the whole thing away. The steel housing, the cord, the chains, everything. Just throw it away. And it says the long-lasting LEDs deliver 30,000 hours of light. How do they know? They weren't around long enough to test the light fixtures for 30,000 hours. That's my opinion. Maybe their lawyers will call me and we can come on the air and talk about it. What I'm saying is we've been sold a bill of goods, in my opinion. We've gone from replaceable, consumer replaceable, end user replaceable, to throwaway. Buy this Chinese stuff and throw it in the landfill. That's where we are. And we reported the Phoebus cartel in the 1920s, where the electric light bulb manufacturers across the globe, mostly in the United States, decided that light bulbs were lasting too long, incandescent light bulbs. They had them running 2,500 to 3,000 hours. They said, that's too much. We have to reduce it. That way we can sell more light bulbs. So they embarked on a really difficult task, and that was to shorten the length of service for light bulbs to about 750 hours. And that's where they are today. Maybe 1,000 hours at the most. So we've been lied to at every turn. But the incandescent light bulb was so ubiquitous, so common, so inexpensive, that it made sense to have them. But they're banned now. Kathy, any more comments?
No, Vince. I think you just summed it up pretty well. It's pretty sad what they'll do to us.
In 2020,
I don't think it's going to save us any money, Vince. I don't think it's going to cost.
Not overall, no. And we're using rare earth elements to build these LED light bulbs. And the flicker in fluorescent light bulbs, that's not all of them. That's only some of them. And that's because fluorescent light bulbs are temperature sensitive. So if you have a cold climate, you use bulbs that are suitable for cold climate. It's as simple as that. If you have a cold climate, you use a ballast that is suitable for a cold climate. And then they warm up anyway. So they only flicker for maybe a minute until they warm up and they stabilize. So it's not like you're working under an never-ending flicker. It's not like that at all. By the way, in 2020, there was a survey, and less than 50% of U.S. households use LED bulbs for indoor lighting, less than 50%. So this ban affects more than 50% of households since 2020.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Former President Donald Trump due to be arraigned this afternoon in the nation's capital on four counts related to his alleged efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. The man convicted of killing 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue has been sentenced to death.
A federal jury reached that unanimous decision on Wednesday. The jurors had deliberated for about 10 hours over the course of 2 days. Robert Bowers was convicted in June on more than 60 charges connected to the 2018 shooting. Last month, the jury decided Bowers was eligible for the death penalty.
An Oregon man in custody after a woman claimed he kidnapped her and held her captive in a makeshift cell in his garage. Stocks closed lower yesterday. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by 348 points. Corey Myers, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Watch it. It's going to be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Why today?
God, you're...
Take my... When you go to the...
For 2 seconds...
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Kathy, I have one other thing that I wanted to mention to our class. By the way, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but my question is, do you have a chest freezer at your place?
No. No, we have our upright then.
Okay. Well, that's good. Chest freezers typically have the coils, the condenser coils, mechanically affixed to the outside skin of the chest. And actually, they're on the outside skin, but they're on the inside of the outside skin. So these are the coils that you'd normally see on the back of a refrigerator or freezer, but they're mechanically attached to the outside skin. And then there's foam insulation that's injected, and that insulates the outside skin from the inside skin where you put the food. Well, yesterday, we've been having a heat wave here for probably darn close to a month. And I took the non-contact thermometer, and I took off there's a side cover on a chest freezer. Typically, it's on the left-hand side. As you look at the freezer from the front, there's a cover on the bottom of the left side, and you can, two screws, and the cover comes off, and you can see the compressor. So I took the cover off, and I aimed the non-contact thermometer at the compressor, and it was running 177 degrees, 177. So hot, you can't touch it. And I didn't like that. And in order to keep it running cool enough so that it wouldn't totally overheat, I have a fan blowing on the outside skin, the front, of the chest freezer. And it's still running 177 degrees at the compressor. So I took the cover off, and I put the fan right blowing on the compressor. It dropped the temperature of that compressor from 177 degrees to 101 degrees. That's a 76-degree delta. That's enough to probably reduce the electricity consumption of that chest freezer. And this is just an estimate. I haven't put a meter on to tell. This is just my estimate. 30 to 50% lower operating costs by doing that. And I'll bet you that compressor will probably last 3 to 5 times longer by running it at 101 degrees rather than 177 degrees. So, class, you can do that. And if you're finding that your freezer is running longer than you'd like, feel around the outside skin of the chest freezer, find out where it's the hottest, and blow a fan there. It doesn't have to be on high. It can be on low. And, you know, just low blowing of air around it. It will lengthen the life expectancy of that chest freezer. And make sure you clean out the coils. And we keep saying this over and over and over again. But it's important because you're going to lose your refrigerator or freezer or refrigerator freezer if you don't. And the same thing with your whole house air conditioning system or your window unit. Clean those coils, the inside coils and the outside coils. But don't get the motors wet. You know, don't get the fan motors wet. I just wanted to share that. Any comments about that, Kathy?
Well, that's pretty impressive, Vince, that you reduced it that much. That's really great.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Kathy, most of my life, starting at maybe 10 years old, I looked at things, and I like mechanical things. I like electrical things. I like electromechanical things. And even hydraulic things. And I'm always looking to improve. Whatever it is, I think it could be done a little bit better, and I'm determined to figure out how and prototype it. And that's what I did. And so this is in the book, too. I just added this to the book because I just figured out that it absolutely positively works. Kathy, you sent me a recall list of automobiles. Unbelievable. Would you like to share that with us?
Well, Vince, my son sent it to me this morning because I had sent him the one article about the explosion with the electric vehicles. And, you know, you had mentioned that probably had the propane tanks on it. That's why the explosion was the way it was. But the headline on it says Hyundai and Kia recall nearly 92,000 vehicles for oil pump that could catch fire. And they, you know, you understand it much more than I do, Vince, but one of the comments in the article says you're not supposed to park your vehicle, you know, in the garage or near a house. And so there's a lot more. And then at the bottom of the article, there were more. There was another. I haven't had a chance to read it. I just scrolled up. It said almost 4 million Kia vehicles could have explosive airbag inflators. And then another one, Ford recalls over 870,000 F-100 trucks for parking brakes that activate unexpectedly. And there, you know, it just, there's like one that talks about harness modules or tow hitch harness modules. So anyway, Vince, you understand it much more than I do. So you go ahead and give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Kathy, you've been driving a long time. Has it ever occurred to you in all the time that you've been driving that there was even a remote possibility that your parking brake could automatically engage? I submit to you, it's never occurred to you. It's never occurred to me either. It's never occurred to anybody. Except maybe the engineers who designed this. Because a parking brake has always been, up until recently, a mechanical thing. And before they were called parking brakes, they were called emergency brakes. And what they were was an auxiliary braking system should your hydraulic brake system fail. You know, these are the days of hydraulics being the braking system of choice, because it used to be mechanical brakes. Like some tractors still have mechanical brakes. I have a 1974 Ford 3000 tractor. It's a little diesel tractor, 40 horsepower, 47 horsepower. It has mechanical brakes. So you step on the brake pedal, you know, actually put your entire weight on the brake pedal, and it pulls a rod that pushes the brake shoes against the brake drums, and it slows down the rotation of the rear tractor wheels. Well, and tires. Well, that's a mechanical system. Another mechanical system would be if you had an English racer bicycle, and you squeeze the handbrake, and it would squeeze the brake pads against the rim. Those are mechanical brakes. Well, they're improved with hydraulic brakes. Now, motorcycles have hydraulic brakes, but they could fail. Well, in cars, they added a braking system called an emergency brake, and the name was changed to parking brake because it's not too good in an emergency. It's just a poor last resort, because if you try to stop your vehicle with the emergency brake or the parking brake, it's not going to work too well. It's just to keep the vehicle from rolling from a dead stop. So if it's parked, it kind of keeps it there so it doesn't roll. But it's not too good for emergency stopping. The bottom line is it's been replaced with an electronic system, a computer and a module and sensors, and it can engage all by itself. That's nuts. That's crazy. It's not necessary. The mechanical system had worked for well over 100 years. There are different versions of it, but they've worked for well over 100 years, and they work very well. Well, that's one thing. That's the Ford pickup truck. Then you have the vehicles that are at risk of fire because, well, they have this electronic controller for the idle stop and go. So here's a really ridiculous design, designed to save fuel. So if you go to a traffic light, you step on the brake, and the sensor says, oh, the vehicle's not moving, let's shut the engine off. So you're at a stoplight or a stop sign. The sensor in the vehicle says, well, there's no movement here, let's shut the engine off. You take your foot off the brake, you move it to the accelerator, and says, oh, we're going to start going, so let's start the engine. So this thing shuts itself off, restarts. So if you're in stop-and-go traffic, your engine's starting, stopping, starting, stopping. The hardest thing on an engine in terms of wear is startup, because the engine is starting without a pressurized lubrication system. So what the auto manufacturers did to overcome this extra wear of the engine and the starting system is to put in an electric oil pump. We've never had an electric oil pump on a gasoline engine before. It was mechanically driven. It was driven by a shaft and a gear, and it picked up the oil from the oil pan and pressurized the engine, and it worked great, and it still does. But with stop and go, and I mean stop and start and stop and start, you need to pressurize the system while it's stopped. So you have an electric pump to do that. Well, the electronic controllers fail. And or they can cause the electric motor for the oil pump to overheat and cause a fire. This is nuts. So instead of using fuel for idling at the stoplight or the stop sign, we're going to put in a system that can cause the vehicle to catch on fire. This is beyond stupid. And so how many, we're talking, Kia and Hyundai are recalling 91,000 or 92,000 of these things. And don't you all be parking in your garage, because that's where the fire could be. So now we're burning cars and houses and buildings. And I think I'm going to have to go and put a sign up for Natural Farms Campground and say, don't you be parking your stop and start cars and electric vehicles on the farm, because we don't want you to set our farm on fire. So everybody's insurance is going up because of all of these stupid designs, because the government says y'all are going to create vehicles that have more fuel economy. So what they do is they shut the engine off to save fuel. But the cost of a starter now, and when I was selling auto parts back in the 1970s, actually 1960s, late 60s, early 70s, you could buy a starter for a Ford, Chevy, or Chrysler, car or pickup truck, for between $10 and $20. $10 to $20. Now be rebuilt. It took two bolts or three bolts to replace the starter and one electrical cable. So most four bolts that had to be addressed at the most. It was a 15-minute job. Now the cost to replace the starter is between $250 and $1,500. The cost to replace a little tiny speck of a starter in a Honda Civic is $436. So what we've done is we've added complexity where it's not necessary. We've changed the light bulbs. We've changed the engine design. We've had engines that don't last as long as they could because of these idiotic systems. And then we have computers and sensors to control it, and they fail at about 40,000 miles.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kathy, any comments about what we've been talking about with the recall and the start-stop system that nobody needs?
You know, Vince, you talked about that before, and it really made a lot of sense about the demand that it put on the engine to start and stop. And I think that was very wise. The other thing is my husband's always talked about the engineers, and that maybe they think they have a good idea, but maybe they need to be a mechanic also, because I don't think sometimes when they come up with these ideas, they realize some of the problems they're creating. I mean, that's just, I'm not a mechanic, but you know, just listening to him through the years when they make it so difficult to work on an engine or to take something out, you got to take half of the dashboard out just to get to one little thing or something. And plus the fact that it could be really dangerous for people to drive certain vehicles now. I mean, I would just be horrified if one of my children or my friends or family, you know, got in a bad accident because of this.
And imagine this, Kathy. Imagine you had a picnic over there, you know, a barbecue for your family in Ohio. And you say, yeah, you all come on over to our place. And so you come to your place, and the whole gang's there. The whole family's there, and you got some friends coming. And so it's like 30 cars. You know, so the family and relatives come from all over, and they all arrive, and then they park on the lawn. Because right? Most people can't fit 30 cars in a driveway, right? So they park on the lawn, and they all want to park, you know, near the house. And so it's not a long walk, and they want to park near each other. And one of them shows up with one of these Kias or Hyundais, and it catches on fire. And it burns the car next to it. It burns the car next to it. That burns the car next to it. And now the flames are heading toward the house. This could happen. And it's not just Hyundais and Kias. It's Teslas and it's Fords and it's electric vehicles and it's hybrid vehicles. You could have a neighbor show up and say, you know, I just rode my golf cart down the road And, you know, I just thought I'd just take it over and come say hi, and it'd be great to have a cup of coffee, and they park it near your back door, and it's an electric golf cart, and it's a hot day, and it catches on fire. We have lost our minds, Kathy. We have lost our minds with technology, and I have a feeling technology is going to kill us. It certainly is with the biological technology. That's killing us for sure. But we don't really need an electric golf cart. We don't really need an electric vehicle. We don't really need a self-driving vehicle. We don't really need cell phones with lithium batteries that catch on fire. We don't need all of these convenience devices. We flat out don't need them. We got along without computers for a long time. A long time. It's only recently that laptop computers have caught on fire from being charged or overcharged. And the companies that make them know, they absolutely know this happens. Kathy, we have a rechargeable flashlight. We use them all the time. And when we charge them, we take the batteries out, we put the charger on a ceramic floor tile that has rubber feet under it, so that if it does catch on fire, it's not going to burn the house down. But frankly, when I go out and check the chickens at night and have one of these rechargeable flashlights in my hand, that darn thing gets hot. It gets hot just operating the flashlight. Have you noticed that too?
Yeah, Vince, I have. And you know, Vince, I guess I'm old enough that there's times I really do long for the simpler times, like it was when I was growing up. To not have all this technology, to just not have the TV on all day, to just, we were kids, we'd go out and play, we'd climb the apple trees. You know, it was just such a simpler life and a better life, I think.
I'm in total agreement. And all of these modern conveniences has made us grow farther apart as families. You know, for example, we all used to eat dinner together. We all used to have lunch together. We would go outside and play together. You know, we'd wash the dishes together. We didn't have a machine that did it. You know, one person would wash, another person would dry. That's what we did. Another person would clear off the table. Multiple people would cook. We all worked together. We all did. And, you know, back in the 70s, Mrs. Finelli and I would work on cars together. And it was easy. We could change all the spark plugs in her Ford Pinto station wagon, 1974 Pinto wagon, in about 30 minutes. Now, to change the spark plugs on a four-cylinder engine, you have to remove the intake manifold, which means you have to get an intake manifold gasket set, which really means you're into it for about 3 hours, plus all the parts. And you have to have a torque wrench to do it. It didn't used to be like that. And the vehicles were okay back in the 60s and the 70s. They really were. So we have made everything so complex that we can't live with it. Kathy, any final comments?
No, Vince, thanks. We didn't plan on talking about all this, but I'm glad we did. I think that it was important for people to hear it.
Yeah, and so what we were going to talk about, let's talk about it in a couple weeks.
Okay, sounds good, Vince.
Kathy, thank you so much for being with us.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.